That's how Jesus taught us how to pray.
Yeah, our Father.
Our Father,
yes,
who art in heaven.
Yes.
Hallowed be thy name, or honored. May your name be honored. So when you're saying, you are my Elyon,
yeah,
or my El Shaddai,
mm-hmm,
or Yahweh,
yeah,
you're honoring his name.
You're honoring
his name.
That's who
he is. That's,
yes,
you know, he is the possessor of heaven and earth. He,
yes,
is the all-sufficient one.
Yes. And so, and then when we get in the next chapter, we're going to talk about two more names.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, yeah, being Yahweh. And so, but yeah, we're honoring his name is what we're doing. Okay. What I wanted to do is share a few thoughts with you on resting. Because, and then we'll proceed on. Because, you know, it says, he who dwells in the secret place. And dwell means to sit down and rest. I feel like if we don't get the resting part, we're not going to get the rest of it. And I don't know about you, but I've pondered on the word resting. And that's come up in this class several times. And I've said, okay, God, you know, resting. What does it mean to rest? Well, I listened to Creflo Dollar this week. And I had written down notes, and the Lord brought me back to it. And I believe he really wanted me to share this with you, because I think it helps give an explanation to resting. And you may know how to rest, and great if you do, that's wonderful, that's a real blessing. But he who dwells or rests in the secret place. So let me share with you some thoughts that he doesn't use the word resting. Really what he's teaching on is grace and righteousness and grace. But this is a couple things that the Lord led me to. He said, religion is an attempt to have a relationship with God without being dependent upon him. Okay? Religion is an attempt to have a relationship with God without being dependent upon him. I think that's very interesting thoughts. Depending on my own works, this is what religion is depending on my own works to get something done or to fix something. And not on what Jesus has already done. Now, this was new thoughts to me. So it may be new thoughts to you. I hope that, you know, if it's not, if it is, you know, it'll stir you up to talk to the Lord about it. Remember what I said, you know, last week? You know, Bob said if there's an anointing on a message, it'll stir you up. It won't leave you you won't leave the way you came. So, religion is an attempt to have a relationship with God without being dependent upon him. Depending on my own works to get something done or to fix something, and not on what Jesus has already done. Then he goes on and he says, grace is me being dependent on God for everything, not dependent on myself for everything. This is some thinking. Grace is me being dependent on God for everything, not dependent on myself for everything. So, he said in the what I was listening to, he said we need to make a decision and say, Father, I am dependent on you and the finished work of Jesus. And then I added to the end of it, and enter into rest. Now, you have to personalize this and think of your own life. Maybe you're totally dependent upon God and you're not dependent upon the things. Now, this isn't saying you don't do anything. Don't read that into it. Because he said, you know, he said God will give you instructions and he'll show you what to do if you'll be dependent upon him and you'll be patient. But sometimes we're not dependent and we're not patient. And we see a situation and we get into trying to fix it. Have we not all done that at some time or another? And really, grace is being dependent on God for everything and not dependent on myself for everything. And as I read that, I said, okay, Lord, I'm beginning to see how I can enter into rest. And, you know, our nature, we don't want to be dependent upon nobody. And some people have a more independent nature than other people do. And you can, you know, you can see it. And you can recognize it. But, and then, this is my comment to this. For me personally, and if you can receive it, then you can receive it for yourself. I need to stop working for what I already have in Christ. And I've said to the Lord as I begin to learn this, I said, Father, really all that I see that I need to do in life is rest and enjoy the life that Jesus died for me to have. Now, that doesn't mean I don't pray. That doesn't mean I don't read the Word. That doesn't mean that, I do things that God tells me to do. But I know when Wanda's working and when God's working. Joyce Meyer says that when you're frustrated at something, you're out of grace. You're trying to fix it yourself. You're not being dependent upon you're just not being dependent upon God's ability to work the thing out. Okay? I can see some looks. I know I'm stirring the pot, and that's okay. Because we have got to understand, you know, what resting means. I think I'll leave it at that. Give you some things to think about. And I pray right now, Father God, that you'll show us personally where we're toiling. And we're not resting. Okay, let's go on. Let me find my place where we're going to be. The secret place is in Christ. We need to talk about that for just a minute. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And while you're looking at that, let me say this. I want to say this about myself. You know, the Lord has shown me that I'm a fixer in life. I like to fix things. And y'all have heard this statement. And years ago, probably it was very freeing for me to hear him say this to me. But he said, Wanda, if you could fix it, you'd have to maintain it. You've heard that statement. Well, I applied it to that situation that I was in at the moment. But when I've come across other situations, I haven't been as quick to apply it. But I'm beginning to understand because of what Jesus did at the cross. Everything is finished. All that I need to do is lay hold of it with my faith. It's done. Have you ever heard somebody say that as Christians we're praying for what we already have? Oftentimes we're praying for what we already have. Yeah. And I think when we rest, we'll praise for what we already have. And we pray from the victory side. That's when you know who you are in Christ. You'll pray from the victory side. And that's when you'll know you're in rest too, is you're praying from the victory side. You know, we can get caught up in prayer in a place where we're trying to talk God into something that's already been done. Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. I've done that. Man, have I done that. Now, there is that place that we talk about occasionally that where we pour our heart out to God. You know, that's very important because if you don't pour out what's on the inside of you, it will eat you up. So you pour your heart out to God, and then you move over just like we see in the Psalms, like David would. He'd pour his heart out to God and tell God how bad it was, but before he was done with the Psalms, he would tell God how good he is. And so that's another part, you know, that's another part of rest. But we need to learn about rest. And one way we learn about rest is we know who we are in Christ. You know, I think Brother Hagin, he's the one who would encourage people to read and find out all the scriptures that say in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. Whatever version you're reading, it's going to be different. But, you know, that's who we are. And that is what we have. We're a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become brand new. That's a place of rest too. When you understand what's passed away and what's become brand new. We're a peculiar people. That's why God left us here on this earth. We're peculiar. We're not like any other species. If we can grab hold of that, You know what? That's why we're here on this earth, because when this great revival sweeps this earth, that will take us on home to Jesus if we're still living. When that great revival sweeps this earth, you know, we're going to be that peculiar person that somebody's going to come up to and say, there is something different about you. And they're going to want to talk to you. But, you know, we got to learn how to enter into rest. But if we're fretting like everybody else is fretting, and we're anxious like everybody else is anxious, we're not going to look like that peculiar person. We're not going to be that person that, you know, somebody's drawn to. Okay. Secret place is in Christ. I want to read 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, but of him, this is King James, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This tells us we are in Christ. I remember hearing Joseph Prince make, I could see him doing it, and he did this. And he said, it's like this ink pen. I'll just do it in this book. It's like this ink pen in this book. He did his Bible. But anyway, and you shut the book and you can't see the ink pen. It's like you're hid. This ink pen's hid in here. He said, that's how we are in Christ. We're hid in Christ Jesus. And but I wanted to read the Amplified out of this because I like how it amplifies it. But it is from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus. My life, your life, is in Christ. You know, I said last week, what does that mean? What does it mean to be in Christ? You know, do we have a revelation of that? You know, I believe as the body of Christ we do to a certain degree. It depends upon what you've been taught over the years. If you've been taught you're a worm and no good, and if you don't do this and you don't do that, then whatever, whatever. Then, you know, you're not going to see yourself in Christ. I don't know. I don't know if any of you all in this room were taught that. You know, I was taught some things when I was young. Yep. It's amazing how they stuck with me. It's absolutely amazing how some of the stuff I was taught had stuck with me for years. And it really has only taken the Holy Ghost to unveil it and let me see just some wrong thinking. But anyway. But it is from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom from God. So you know what? We have wisdom. Now the word says we ask for wisdom. We can ask for wisdom. But in Christ, you know what? We're wise. We got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. If we'll listen to him, he's a genius. He'll tell you exactly what to do. There's another place of rest. Resting in the Holy Ghost. He's inside of us. He's wisdom. You don't have to toil to find out. You don't have to toil to figure out. We've also learned this is a place of rest. We take symptoms in our body. We take symptoms in our family life. We take symptoms wherever they're at. We take them. We pray in the Holy Ghost over them. That's a place of rest. The Holy Ghost prays the perfect will of the Father. We do not have to toil to try to figure out whatever, whatever, whatever. He has been made unto us wisdom. This is a great scripture to, you know, quote, decree over your life. Okay. And that is revealed to us the knowledge of the divine, the divine plan of salvation previously hidden, manifesting itself. And the plan of salvation, what does the plan of salvation include? Everything we have need of. It's finished. It's done. There's no new thing that any of us can come up with, and God will say, oh my gosh, I forgot that. No new thing. It's all covered. Absolutely. It's all covered. But you know what? If we're fretting over what's already covered, God will let us fret over until we come to the point where we say, okay, God, I'm dependent upon you. I ask for your grace in this situation or whatever. Okay. And then, let's see, he's revealed to us the knowledge of the divine plan of salvation. Okay. And he has been made unto us our righteousness, thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God. And I'll say to that, this is another place of rest. You can say, if somebody said to you, Are you the righteousness of God? You can say, yes, I am. But what about the day when you do something that's not so pretty? You know, you get mad at your boss, you get mad at your wife, you throw a fit here, you throw a fit there. That's when the enemy likes to come in and say, look at you. He's the accuser of the brethren. But you know what? You receive your righteousness, that's another place of rest. Our consecration, making us pure and holy. You know what? That blows religious people out of the water. When you say that you're consecrated, Jesus is my consecration, and I'm already pure and holy. This is what the Word says. There's people that argue, well, big time with you on that one. And our redemption. This is all we're in Christ. And our redemption. Providing our ransom from eternal penalty for sin. Thank you, Jesus. He's my redemption. I'm in Christ. He's my redemption. I don't have to pay for my sins by feeling guilty for 10 days, listening to the enemy's lies, feeling condemned. You know, I remember a story with Mark Hankins, one of his newsletters, and there was a lady in his church that was driving her family home one night, and she fell asleep at the wheel. And she, there were some family members that died. And so, of course, you know, she had to work through that. And she became under such condemnation, she didn't want to live. And Mark and I think somebody else from her church would go and was ministering to her and telling her, you know, because of Jesus, there's no condemnation. Now, I can't imagine working through that. You got to be really grounded in who you are in Christ. But to me, emotionally, you'd still work through it. And so he asked her to come back to church. And so he was expecting her one Sunday morning, and she didn't show up in the sanctuary. He sent someone out to look for her, and she was hiding in the bushes in the front of the church. And they encouraged her to come in, and then there was, you know, there was, of course, the service and everything. And then Mark said the Spirit of God rose up in him. And he went to her and he said, I say to you, there is now no condemnation to you. He spoke the word to her. And he broke that spirit off of her. But we got to realize that in Christ, there's no condemnation for us. Jesus was condemned. He took our condemnation. So all of these in Christ, this is the secret place. Can you see where I'm beginning to see where it's beginning to be a secret place? Because it's a place for us as believers. Jesus paid for it. An unbeliever is not in the secret place. Because they're not in Christ. And so it is a secret place that we have. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And so I encourage you, you know, as I encourage myself, you know, I want to know more what it means to be in Christ. I want to know more of the Scripture. And, you know, as I pray the Ephesians 1 prayer and as I read the Scriptures, it's like the revelation comes as I see that I'm in Christ. Whatever it may be, I'm in Christed. Mark Hankins has wonderful teaching on this. Wonderful, wonderful teaching on this. And so, don't you want to know what everything is your, as what everything that we have? And don't you want any wrong thinking about what you may think you have be brought to the light? I mean, I do, because, you know, and I've said to Jesus, I said, I don't want what you did for me to be in vain. So if I'm thinking wrong, I want to know if I'm thinking wrong. If it came from whenever or wherever it came from. And I really guard who I listen to. I really do. Because if they're not exalting Jesus, then... And I mean, this is a change in this girl here in the past probably 6 months. because I wasn't that way. But there's like a, since revelation has come. And so I want to know everything that's mine in Christ, because I want to be in that place of rest, be in the secret place of the Most High. All right, I got 10 minutes. We need to press on because we are going to finish this book today. You know, I came to the realization, because I said there's nothing, there's, we don't want to miss anything that's in here. But you all are reading the chapter, correct? You're reading the chapter. I hope more than once. So, you know what, if we went over every dotted I and every cross T and whatever, you know, and I want you to get things on your own. I'm just here. I'm trusting the Holy Ghost to show me what to highlight and bring out to emphasize. And then I'm trusting him to give me some things to go with it, just to, you know, expound on it a little bit more. Not that he's not doing it great. On page 10, he talks about valuing the secret place. And he uses the example with the old violin. But, you know, how much do we value who we are in Christ? You know, if you value something, you know, we value our children and our grandchildren and our spouse. You know, we'll spend time with them because we value them. You know, we value our church. We come to church. We value our relationship with God, so we spend time, you know, with Him. So, I encourage you. Only you know how to value something. And I say, God, help me to value. Help me to value what's mine. Help me to value what Jesus has done for me. And then the secret place also talks about intimacy. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he gives that example of sitting under the trees in Jerusalem, sitting under the shadow. You know, when something shadows you, it covers you. We've all been in a place where it's been hot, and we go get under a tree. But we've also been in a place where it's pouring down rain, and we get under a covering. You know, so a shadow is a place of intimacy. You know, in Christ, that's a very intimate place. You know, I think that's why God says, my grace is that you're dependent upon me for everything. Because that's an intimacy. That's saying, God, you know what's best. You know, you can go to this scripture too in the Word. Not my will, but your will be done. I mean, we have an independent nature. We can have an independent nature. Ask my husband if I've had an independent nature. I want to read you, the Lord gave me this scripture too, and this is from the Message Bible. And so I want to read you this scripture, Matthew 11. And if you don't have the Message Bible, I'd say don't. You'll be familiar with it from your version. It says, come unto me, all you who are labor and weary, and I will give you rest. I want you to listen to this, because this is a place of intimacy, I believe. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. So this goes with the rest. That seems to be the word for today. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. This is Jesus talking. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I love that. So that's a place of intimacy, closeness, and so on and so forth. Let's go on. Remember the testimony of the gentleman that was in the hotel? That's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous testimony. But, you know, and he had been praying and believing and using the Psalms 91 scripture. And he goes on, and Joseph Prince talks about, with our intelligence and smarts, only our Lord Jesus can put us at the right place at the right time and keep us in his divine protection. You know, sometimes we think we're really smart. And we got, you know, and I mean, and we are blessed with wisdom. But if we can trust in our own smartness, or we can trust in the smartness and intelligence of God, I mean, that script, that is just astounding to me. That God, you're able. But he is the all-sufficient one. And he's the possessor of heaven and earth. And we are dwelling in that secret place. We're under the shadow of the Almighty. So, you know, we're covered. But, you know, we appropriate this in our lives when we pray it or decree it and declare it, however you want to, you know, to say it. You do that. And it's not out of law or out of a religious attitude. It's just out of a place of gratefulness that, God, you put this in your word for this day and this hour and this time that I live in, which is different than it's ever been on the face of the earth. The violence. Do you know, I saw this, that they did a drug bust on the border. Did you see that? Yeah, the Border Patrol, and they seized fentanyl that was capable of killing 157 million people. Million. Not 157,000 or 157. 157 million people. Well, you know, you could say, I don't use fentanyl. Well, but when it gets out, it gets in a lot of stuff. It gets laced and all this kind of stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, that was seized. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on. There's a section where he says, hold on to his word. In other words, as we're teaching this, you may entertain the thought, you know what, I've been praying Psalms 91 for years, and this happened and that happened, and so on and so forth. But he says, you hold on to the word. You hold on to your faith. You keep on keeping on. You keep on praying it. You keep on confessing it, decreeing, declaring it, believing it, and whatever. And you know, this is basically a lot of what we're reading here. Thank God, we've already been taught. We've already been taught this. But anyway, we just hold on to it. And then I love the scripture verse in Job. That clock is about 5 minutes fast up there. And I'm going to read this, Job 5. He shall deliver you in 6 trouble, yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. In famine he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. I love that. If you're in a place where somebody's coming against you with their tongue, right here. And you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many. Your offspring will like the grass of the earth. And you shall come to the grave, hallelujah, and a full age. Praise God. I love it. But anyway, you know, he talks about, I hope you read this. He says, the more we remind ourselves of the Lord's protection daily, the more our faith in his protection will grow. This is just another scripture that just reinforces Psalms 91. And I believe as we go on in this, we're going to see other scriptures that we're going to say, okay, wow, this just kind of goes along with, you know, the promise of protection in other places. And then verse 6, page 16 at the top, he said, that is the intention of this book, to saturate you with hearing and hearing of the Lord's protection promises for your life, until your faith is robust and overflowing. The more you believe, the more you'll experience deliverance from trouble after trouble, until you come to the place of in 7, where no evil will touch you. Hallelujah. And one other sentence. May we all increase and have a progressive revelation of the Lord's protection in these last days. read chapter 2 for next week, and we'll just see what the Lord, what we pull out on that one.